want to read Joel 2, verse 2nd chapter, 23 to the 32nd verse. So rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication, and he has poured down for you the rain, the early and latter rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of rain, the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the growling locust, my great army which I sent among you. You have plenty to eat and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put into shame. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other, and my people will never be put to shame. It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men and will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and the female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading this morning comes from Luke, the 18th chapter, where Jesus tells another story, the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, let this truly be good news to us. More than simple words, Lord, we pray that they would indeed be living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce us and judge us and purify us. For Lord, we know that we need the purification work of your Spirit. Help us, Lord, as we now sit before your throne and you teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. What kind of a day is this day for you? Is it a good day or is it a bad day? Some of you woke up this morning refreshed, like the woman in the picture. You didn't need any alarm clock. It's just like, oh, what a great day this is. You know, you have those mornings when you wake up that way and your favorite shirt is cleaned and pressed, and the traffic is flowing like a swift river as you get out there, and the big job that you've been working on clinches and comes together, and you walk out into the bright sunshine after work, and you breathe in the fresh air, and you head for home, and dinner is ready, and it's your favorite. It's a tender sirloin, and the vegetables are grilled to perfection, and there's creme brulee for dessert. There's a hot cup of coffee waiting for you in front of the television set, and the Eagles win. And as you lay your head on the pillow, you think, I am living the good life. I must be doing something right. But then there are days, right? Then there are the days when you wake up and you've only slept a few hours. And just as you finally get to sleep and you get into that really sound sleep, the alarm blares like a foghorn in the middle of the night. And you can't find your shirt because you're fumbling through the darkness. You get outside and there's ice on the windshield and you can't find the scraper. You get out into the traffic and it's crawling along and you're late for work. And then you get the news that the job that you've been working on, it's been stolen by your competitor. And just as you're about to leave work, this is kind of an opposite, right? Just as you're about to leave work, you walk out and the skies open up, and by the time you get to your car, you're drenched. You don't have an umbrella. You're soaked. And you say, I don't feel like cooking. So what do? You order pizza. And just as the pizza is delivered, the telephone rings. And it's somebody you don't want to talk to, and they keep you on the phone for 20 minutes. When you finally say, I got to go, the pizza's cold. And you sit down with your cold pizza in front of the television set, and the Eagles lose. And you crawl into bed, and you whisper to yourself, I am one miserable wretch. I couldn't fight my way out of a paper bag. Lord, have mercy on me. Contrasts. Martin Buber was a well-known Jewish philosopher. And he said, we all have two spiritual pockets. When we reach into one pocket, we pull out smallness. We are nothing but dust and ashes. And when we reach into the other pocket, we extract greatness, as if for our sake the universe was created. Everybody has two pockets. And Jesus' parable contains this kind of contrast: a Pharisee and a tax collector. For the Pharisee, everything seems right. And for the tax collector, nothing seems to be working. But notice the audience to whom Jesus tells this story. In Luke 18, verse 9, we read, and he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. He told the story to people who have two pockets, the dust and ashes pocket and the glory pocket. But he was really wanting to impress this story on the people who were only dipping into the glory pocket, and the glory happened to be their own. You see, the story here opens with a Pharisee who is really a very self-righteous person. The self-righteous are deluded into thinking that they need no one. They draw only from the glory pocket. And again, the glory that they draw from is not God's glory, it's their glory. And they'll stand and they'll regale you about how good they are and all that they have done. And what do you say about that kind of person? They're a little full of themselves, right? The Pharisee goes into the temple and he stands by himself in the front. And he starts. And I wonder, you know, what this prayer is all about. But he says, God, I thank you. Notice verse 11 says, the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. Interesting. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. Didn't God already know that? So who is he trying to impress? You know, you really can't impress God, even though sometimes we try to. But really, it seems that oftentimes these kinds of prayers are really not about impressing God. They're really about impressing the people who are listening. After all, the law required that a Jewish man fast once a year. How often does this man fast? Twice a week. Whoa, he's really holy. He's really good. And the law required only the tithing of produce. He tithes everything. You are really good. The whole content of his prayer is all about him. He proudly asks for nothing because in his mind, he needs nothing. He's drawing from the glory pocket, remember, and the glory is his. One of the things that characterizes self-righteous people is they tend to keep their distance from the undesirables. The Pharisee's prayer shows contempt for the people who need mercy. I thank you that I'm not like that guy, that tax collector in the back. He only has his hand in one pocket. And what he needs to do is get his hand in the other pocket and say, you know, I'm a needy person too. He needed to learn how to get in touch with the dust and ashes of his life, but he couldn't see it. And so there in the temple at Jerusalem at a distance was a man who was too real to be called invisible, although the Pharisee probably would like to have made the man invisible. He was there in the back of the temple, a man who prayed with downcast eyes, a man who was made small by the pride of a self-righteous Pharisee. A man who was created in the image of God and needed God. And so he comes searching with his hands in his pockets. He comes searching for a God who can redeem him. What can you call this man? Well, there are several names that we could give to this man. Prostitute. Drug pusher, a simple stranger, a mentally unstable person, a leech. We could call this man on food stamps, living with AIDS, an adulterer, a child abuser. We can call this man whatever we want to call this man, but please keep him at a safe distance from us. That's the attitude of the Pharisee. But those kept at a distance need mercy. And they know instinctively that they can't do it themselves. The only pocket that they've been able to find thus far is the pocket of dust and ashes. They need to find the other pocket. And this man finds it. He's standing far off. His eyes are downcast. He's beating his breast. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He has his hands in the dust and ashes pocket. God, be merciful to me. The word for mercy is the word atonement. God, I need atoning. I need somebody that's going to do some sacrificing on my behalf because there's not enough in my pocket to do this. I'm insufficient. I need a gift. I need somebody that will reconcile the ledger for me. And the irony is that this man gets it right. And Jesus says he goes home, how? He goes home justified. He goes home reconciled. He goes home with his hand in the other pocket because he's found the glory. And it wasn't his. It was God's. It was God's glory that now began to fill this man. Not his own works righteousness. His humility is the key that positions him for this salvation. The Apostle Paul, as I mentioned when we were doing our singing, as we were singing Knowing You, the Apostle Paul knew himself to be a Pharisee. He was a pretty self-righteous person at one point in his life. He slaughtered and imprisoned Christians. But he recognized, because of the revelation that came to him on the Damascus Road and after that, that he was a man of great need. Listen to his proclamation about his inadequacy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we read these words. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from us, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. He had lived according to the letter. He was a Pharisee. He probably stood in the front. He could have been the man that Jesus was describing that says, you know, I fast twice a week. I tithe everything. I thank you. I'm not like that guy. But when God opened his eyes and showed him his need, he responded to the gift that was given to him. And the gift is the gift of life in Christ. It's at that point that Paul got his hand in both pockets. It's important for us to keep our hands in both pockets. Martin Luther said that we are both saint and sinner. We should neither be too full of ourselves nor think too disparagingly of ourselves. But instead, we're to have an honest estimation of ourselves. I like what Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 3. He says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." We're to think so as to have sound judgment about ourselves. That means, you know, on one hand, I'm very much a sinner. But because of what Jesus has done for me, I'm also being made holy. I'm a saint. And that's one of the things that we recognize as followers of Jesus, is that everyone who follows Jesus is separated unto him and therefore a saint. But these saints are also sinners. We have this tension in our lives. It's both pockets, and we have to get our hands in both pockets. This is the Sunday before Reformation Day. Reformation Day is also known as the Eve of All Saints' Day, or All Hallowed Eve, from which we, of course, get the term Halloween. It was on the 31st of October in 1517 that Martin Luther put his hands in both pockets, and he showed his love for all the saints by posting 95 statements or theses on the door of the castle church. He says, "I want to talk." He wanted to talk about a church that, in his opinion, had become far too much like the Pharisees, smug and self-righteous. And out of respect for those who had given their lives to build a church that was authentic and had integrity, with Jesus at the top of the list. I mean, Jesus gave his life for the church because he knows about the saintliness and the sinfulness of all people. Luther says, "I want to be a catalyst for reformation. I want to get back to basics, where it's all about Jesus and not about how good we are." He wanted to reform his beloved community. But the Pharisees of the day looked at his invitation to conversation as an affront. And they called him a sinner, and themselves the saints. And rather than love this loyal son of the church, who simply wanted to have a conversation about what was right and what wasn't so good, they sent him into hiding, and they sought to take his life. What was wrong with the church in 1517? They only had their hand in one pocket. And in that pocket, they saw glory, and it was theirs. But if they'd only been able to get their hand in the other pocket, they would have seen that they're just human beings, and they need the conversation. They need to know how ghoulish they can be, and in that case, we're being on that All Hallowed Eve. There's a message in there for us, isn't there? God has made us in his own image, and all the glory of God has been imprinted in us, and yet it oftentimes gets covered over with dust and ashes. And he wants us to be able to get our hands in that pocket and say, "You know, that's part of who I am, but that's not how God created me to be. Lord, have mercy to me, a sinner. I come to you because I want so much. I want so much to be living in the light of your glory, not my own." So what kind of day is this day for you? Is it a good day? Or is it a bad day? Keep in mind that sinners can be saints. And saints, well, they're still sinners. And with hands in both pockets, we recognize that sometimes we're a little bit or a whole lot of both. But God is doing something in our midst, calling us into the temple where we can confess our need and there find that the glory of God fills us. And when the glory fills us, wow, that's when we become who God intended that we be. May God have mercy on us. And may God's glory fill us. Let's pray. Lord, only by the work of Jesus, this cornerstone who came for sinners to atone, can we enter into your glory. We know you created us for this. And we pray, Lord, that each of us will be able to get our hands in both pockets and to see not only our brokenness, but the good stuff that you have laid up for us in Christ. Lord, we would respond to your invitation to come close, to not stay at the back, but to draw near and to be filled with your glory. Take away the dust and the ashes, Lord, that your light might shine in us through Jesus. Amen.